So you started the new year with some big health goals. Maybe you wanted to finally start meal prepping, or it was finally fitting in those jeans that you've been holding on to, or maybe you wanted that six pack before the summer. Whatever it was, you started off strong, but now you're starting to lose steam. You haven't been meal planning for days, and the number on the scale is actually going up instead of down, and you aren't exactly happy with what you see when you look in the mirror. First, I want you to know that you are not alone. I'm on the struggle bus and found someone to help us both with this. Now, instead of taking big, massive steps, my guest today will show you how to take small, micro steps to help you get you into your health goals faster. If you've heard of James Clear and Atomic Habits, some of this is going to sound familiar. The difference is my guest is going to show you how to incorporate atomic habits for women. Because let's be real, we are very different from men. And how we tackle atomic habits has to be a little different so that we can get the results. Hey there, my name is Toni Ann. I'm the podcast host of the Real Happy Mom podcast, the podcast for busy working moms who need more time and help with achieving their big goals without pulling their hair out. And in this episode, I'm talking to Emily Nichols. She is a certified personal trainer, Orange Theory coach, behavioral change specialist, and the podcast host of Habit Hack Your Health. And today, she is going to share with you why we have to tackle atomic habits differently from men, how we can implement atomic habits, and the best strategy to get faster results when you're just getting started with atomic habits. Now, before we jump into this episode, really quick update. I do apologize. I have been MIA for just a little bit, and I know that you completely understand, but I want you to know it is for a good reason, and that is because I am in the process of creating my first virtual summit. I did not know how much time and energy goes into creating a virtual summit, but it is coming along. So you'll be hearing about this summit. It's called Let's Get More Time. It's going to be happening February 22nd, and you'll be able to register here very, very soon. But I just wanted you to know that is the reason why I've been a little MIA, but I'm back. I'm here. Everything's all good. And I got some really great things in store for you. Now, I know you are excited to hear about Emily. So let's go ahead and jump on into this week's episode. So, Emily, I have a really great topic that I know everyone listening to is going to absolutely enjoy. But before we jump into that, I wanted you to share a little bit about you and what you do and who you serve.
My name is Emily Nichols. I'm the host of Habit Hack Your Health, and I am a fitness professional by trade and turned into a habit coach as I started coaching women. So I'm the host of Habit Hack Your Health, like I said, and I really help busy working moms, in particular millennial moms. I'm 42. It's a whole new ball game with teenagers and stuff like that, where we're trying to create time for our health, but do it in a way where there's no guilt. It doesn't feel overwhelming, and it's not fueled by diet culture, but rather training for life and helping you to feel your healthiest. That way, everyone else around you wins. So, like I said, I'm a fitness professional by trade. I'm a personal trainer and group fitness instructor. And I've noticed since I had my own transformation and started working with folks that we know what to do when it comes to our health, right? We're like, okay, I need to move my body. I need to eat nutritious foods, and I need to talk nicer to myself. But how the heck do we do that when we're so overscheduled and overstimulated? And that's why I kind of created this habit hacking system to really help women learn that it's not our fault our habits haven't been sticking. We just have to do them differently. And I'm a big fan of James Clear and his book, Atomic Habits. And I utilize a lot of his teachings and my own learnings as after becoming a behavior change specialist, but with a twist to make it a little bit more creative and catered towards women to make our habits stick for us. Because, you know, when I went through my own transformation, my husband was going through it at the same time. I was like, why is this so easy for him? And that's kind of like how the whole system was founded, the podcast. And I just love being able to connect with women and help them have their own aha moment that I can take care of myself. I need to take care of myself and just watch how everyone else around them wins when you do that.
I have read the book Atomic Habits. Love it too as well. Love everything James Clear is talking about there. But I feel like for women, there is a difference in how we do habits versus men. And I am so glad that you brought up that slight little minor detail that is tend to be overlooked. So I wanted you to share with us, what are some of the things that you would focus on for women who are trying to do atomic habits?
Yeah. So like I said, when I was going through my own healthy transformation, my husband and I were doing it as a team, which I would recommend for some folks, maybe it's not a good idea to work with your spouse. It just depends on the situation, right? But we were really just starting with, okay, we're going to meal prep a little bit more. We need to eat healthier. I was climbing the corporate ladder at the time and really dealing with stress and anxiety at the same time with really unhealthy habits that lurk around food, in particular like cookies and like sugary stuff. I'm a sugary person. It's either salty or sugary for everyone, or both sometimes in that matter. And as we were doing this, like I said, I noticed for him, it was just easier for him to be like, I'll just cut down on sugar, or I'll just, you know, I was doing the meal prep and he was taking the little meal prep containers that I made to work and doing all the things. And for me, I was like, it seems so much more simple for him. And for me, and what I've learned about myself and the women I work with, a lot of times we have an all or nothing mentality, especially when it comes to our health, right? A lot of times, like I mentioned, it's fueled by diet culture. We have that super high Monday morning motivation where we're like, I'm going to work out an hour today, every day this week. I am going to like spend like hashtag 3 hours on Sunday doing hashtag meal prep Sunday. And I am going to like journal for an hour every night and like pray and meditate before I go to sleep. Like that sounds great. But that's not how it's going to work. So another reason is we have that all or nothing mentality. So we have that high motivation, right? But then life happens. We have a lot more tabs open in our heads, not only for ourselves, but for everyone else. There's a lot of internal distractions, but external distractions too. So let me explain, like internal distractions. I might be sitting here getting ready for a podcast interview, taking down some notes, but in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, I hear the dryer buzzing. I need to make sure to get that laundry out. And will I actually fold it today? And oh, what are we going to make for dinner tonight? And oh, I need to make sure someone has a ride to get to golf practice tonight. Or do I need to go pick up my son from that? That's like a constant loop running through my head while I'm like taking down podcast notes. Oh, but then an external distraction, I get a call from school. Oh, one of my sons forgot their cross-country shoes. I need to run them up to the school. And luckily, I work from home and I have the capability to do that. It's not to say like dads and our partners don't have a lot of those distractions too. I think just as women, we are built to be nurturing beings. So we take on a lot of that. Like I said, I have a preteen and a teenager. I take on their emotions sometimes just being their mom. So when I have the best of intentions to do all of these things for my health, I have that all or nothing mentality. I'm feeling pulled in so many different directions. It sounds so simple, but it's not. It's not, it doesn't happen every day where we're taking care of ourselves. And then that leads to us feeling frustrated. We feel like it's all our fault. And then we just do nothing. And now we've created a habit of doing nothing for our health because we don't trust ourselves, right? We keep having these failures that keep happening. But what if we took a step back and said, well, maybe I don't need to do it all. Maybe I just need to do one tiny thing right now and see how this works. Maybe I don't need to work out an hour every day. Maybe I need to just stay at home and in between meetings, like get up and walk around my house if I have to, or walk around the office. Maybe instead of long meal preps, I just need to, you know, throw some extra protein in every time I make dinner. Maybe, you know, I just set a timer for 10 minutes and just use like a meditation or a prayer app before bed. Make it so tiny and so small where you get those small wins and then those become habits. And what do you know? You're taking care of yourself. So it's kind of a long-winded answer, but that's how it is for us women, right? We have all these different things going through our heads. And a lot of times we just find ourselves not in the type of habit loop we want. We're in a habit loop where we're just doing nothing and then we're feeling guilt or shame around that. And then our loved ones aren't getting the best of us.
I know in the book Atomic Habits, James Clear always talks about like doing these small steps and kind of working up from there. What would you advise moms who are wanting to take those small steps so that they actually are long lasting and not something that just lasts for just this week?
Yes. Oh, goodness. Well, I think sometimes you need to step back and think, what is your capacity? Right? My capacity, not just like physically, but like mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of those areas of your well-being. What is your capacity? And be realistic about it, right? Like I said, just using the working out option, you know, if you're like I coach at Orange Theory, and I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I don't have the capacity to like get dressed, drive there, do an hour workout, drive home, then I have to take a shower, then I have to, you know, get myself ready and ready for the day. Whereas I'm like, oh, or I could just pop on my Peloton for 20 minutes real quick and like, boom, 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 I'm done. Maybe I have more capacity some days, maybe I don't. And thinking about it like that and giving yourself time. So if you kind of step back and you think, well, what's going to serve me right now in this season of my life? Maybe it's like movement. Maybe movement just makes you feel like it's such a high form of self-care and it feels really good and helps you feel more focused and patient and present for your kids and your spouse. Then maybe that's something you need to focus on and think about, well, what is my capacity? And give yourself 21 days just to focus on movement. Like take the month, track it over time, use some tools where you are able to see like you are actually doing the thing, right? Because sometimes we need facts, not feelings, because sometimes we'll miss a couple of days and then we're like, oh, I'm failing again. Whereas if you have a tracker, you can actually see like, well, I guess I'm doing okay. I'm doing better than I thought I did, right? And see that progress over time, you're going to build so much momentum that becomes a habit. And then we don't have to think about it, right? When we start a new habit, it's like opening another tab in your head, and that feels hard and overwhelming. But if you open up just one instead of like five more for your health and give yourself a little time, eventually you can close that tab, but you're still doing the thing without having to think about it because it is now an unconscious habit. So it's really about that. And, you know, I really focus on health because that's my zone, but I think a lot of times for women, we've been told that we need to, when it comes to health, we're supposed to shrink ourselves. Whereas for me, I'm like, I'd rather see this as training for life, like to give myself more energy, to be more patient and present for my kids. Like I want to be like a cool, like grandma someday, like doing yoga and being able to get up and off the floor with my grandkids and going on like fun adventures. That's what I'm training for. I'm not training to be a certain size. Yes, the physical will follow, but sometimes we need to kind of take a step back and say, is what I'm doing for my health rooted in diet culture, or is it rooted in I just want to feel good? And then the physical will happen. Then the confidence will be boosted. And then you're in that zone.
Yeah, you brought up a lot of really good things. So first, I just wanted to tell you, when you're talking about capacity, I was thinking about my friend Alicia. She always talks about magical thinking, where we think we can do all of these things and we actually don't get any of it done. So really understanding that and being, like you said, being honest, I think is really, really huge. And then you also brought up giving yourself some time and then training for life. And I like that, training for life and not just for, you know, a certain season or, you know, for whatever event you have coming up, training for life. Mm-hmm. Those are really, really huge. I like all of that.
I'm so glad. Yeah. Well, and it's just rewiring your brain, and it's really empowering to do something for yourself versus nothing. And it doesn't have to be big, right? I love to, like, one of the last steps in our system that we teach inside of our program is to think about what your capacity is, but have a backup plan in mind. So maybe like you're really focusing on movement this month because that helps you feel really clear-minded and gives you energy, but you were sick for a few days or you were out of town for a work trip and it just isn't working. So what's a capacity habit? What's a backup plan? So it's like, well, maybe I pull up like a free 5-minute stretch on YouTube. And I'm always going to do that if I can't do anything before bed. That way I did something. And that almost triggers in your brain like, wow, look at me. I'm doing something. I'm winning. And that just builds so much more momentum versus frustration.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm thinking now about how we're kind of shifting into a season where we're getting ready for the new year and getting excited about creating these fun goals, especially health goals. And so I definitely want to stay in that vein since that is your expertise. But I'm just thinking about the mom who wants to start implementing some of those atomic habits in having a more healthier lifestyle. What examples would you give to show how we could do better about implementing some of these atomic habits, especially as we're trying to accomplish some bigger goals in the new year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to start with stepping back and saying, well, what is my why for wanting to be healthy? And it can't be surface level. It can't be like, well, because I need to be healthy, or I want to be like a size two, or fit in these pair of jeans I've had in my closet for 10 years. You know, like, we have to have a deeper why. And as women, like I said, we're very nurturing. And it is okay to start with yourself, ladies, and say, well, I want to feel confident in my clothes. I want to sleep better. You know, a lot of times when you're making your health a priority, you sleep better. But what does that do for the people around you that you love as well, right? If you're coming from a place of depletion and exhaustion and just not, and you're just running on caffeine and prayers at this point, they're not going to get the best of you. But if you step back and think really super deep, not just surface level, why you want to take care of your health, that's going to lead to more motivation to do that. But then I would also step back and take a look at the facts, gather data. So in our programming, we only focus on three fundamental needs to make it super simple. And when I say this, I'm like movement, mindset, or food freedom, and pick one area, just one. And that sounds so counterintuitive to, I'm sure, all the things you are hearing right now about new year health goals. Pick one. Like, girl, time goes by so quick. Like, give yourself the month of January just to ease. And maybe you're focusing on some type of form of meal prep for the month. Great. So gather just the facts and think, okay, well, where in my schedule can I make the time to meal prep? Am I going to do a 3-hour long meal prep on a Sunday? If you have the time, more power to you. I personally cannot sustainably stick to that. I always do a little habit loop or habit stack. When I am making a meal, I always throw extra protein like in the air fryer or oven. That way I have it for the next day. That way I'm set up for success. And that's just easier for me. If you want, and just meal prep in general, like the cleanup really irritates me. So I need to make it like as simple as possible, right? So it's stepping back and thinking like that, you know, and over the month of January, you're like, okay, meal prep's going really well. I feel this feels more natural. It doesn't feel as hard. It's becoming a habit. Tracking it over throughout the month, you know, you can get a habit tracker. We have a couple of them in our shop as well, a printable one, which if you use a printable one, I always suggest putting it on your refrigerator. That way everybody sees it. A little bit of accountability there. Or you could even do like a digital one if that's your jam. But then February, you're like, okay, I want to start moving my body a little bit more. And you got to think, if you're going to go to a gym, maybe by February, a lot of those folks that had the best of intentions that tried to do it all, they've kind of backed up because they're like, I can't do it all. So you're like coming in feeling good, and you're not going to have to wait for that treadmill as long, or that weight machine, because they all did too much in January, but you're doing it smart. So it's thinking of it that way. And I know maybe that feels counterintuitive, but that is how it's going to be sustainable and help you create a habit that's going to stick well beyond the first quarter of the new year, but beyond that, because you are training for life. And then just keeping in the back of mind, in the back of your head, like, okay, well, why do I have to do this differently as a woman? Right? Meal prep sounds so easy. And you know, you're thinking about, okay, well, when I'm meal prepping, what do I need as a busy working woman? You know, I need protein to help fuel me. I need like a healthy fat. I need some greens in there as well, but also coming from a place where I'm also not going to restrict myself as well. I'm going to have like coffee in the morning with my favorite creamer because that brings me joy, right? It's finding that balance and thinking about, well, as women, do I need to tweak this a little bit more? Do I need to lead more with protein? Not necessarily counting your macros, but just thinking about how this can help fuel you throughout your day. So deeper why, start small with just one, then start stacking more over time and track how you're doing over time so you can see the facts.
Got it. Got it. So yes, I definitely am there with you on understanding the why. I'm really starting to see now, like, okay, once you have the big picture in mind, then it's easier to start implementing some of the strategies. And so we've got the why, we're able to start small. Are there any other strategies that you find are helpful for women, especially busy working moms, to actually do better about doing these atomic habits so that they can have that lifelong, or train for that lifelong healthy life that you've been talking about?
Yeah. So the biggest, juiciest habit strategy I can give you, and if you've read James Clear's book, you've probably heard of a habit loop, but this is where you actually take action instead of just thinking about it. Like I'm telling you all these wonderful things. You're like, yes, yes, I need to start small. But then how do we actually take action? How do we actually make this work? So we got to create some habit loops, right? So if you're like, what is a habit loop? So there's a cue, a routine, and a reward. So think about brushing your teeth. That is a habit you don't have to think about, but you already have a habit loop around it, right? It's usually followed up. You just did something in the bathroom. You go over, you automatically start brushing your teeth. So there was some type of cue. The routine is brushing your teeth. Reward on the other side is I have good dental hygiene, which you could appreciate, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Don't forget to floss and all the other things. But from there, I didn't even think about that. It was perfect lead in there. I love that so much. But you have habit loops that you already have throughout the day. So starting a new habit, you create a new habit loop. So if we're using that meal prep, like I said, my habit cue is making a meal. The routine is create extra or throw in extra protein. The reward on the other side is I have protein prepped for the next day to create an easy meal. If I'm like strapped for time in the evening, and you've created now an actual routine. Maybe you need, there's a few other ways to create some triggers. Maybe it's stacking it on top of another habit. Maybe it's something visual, like laying out clothes if you want to work out. Maybe it's an actual location, right? I do a lot of personal development in the car. So my cue when I'm getting in the car is a trigger for me to listen to podcasts, books, even just music that makes me feel like freaking amazing. And the reward on the other side is like, oh, I was able to make this work in my life and I feel really great. And then over time, you don't even have to think about it, right? You know, a lot of times when I'm starting a new habit loop, I have to like put like an actual reminder on like my Google Calendar to ding, ding, ding and tell me like, okay, it's time to start the new habit loop. And then over time, you don't have to think about it over time. So that is like super juicy habit strategy. I actually give my clients who are in my accelerator program 60 different habit loops they could do around their fundamental needs just to make it a little more creative for you and think about, oh, well, where can I make this work in my life? And as women, you know, a lot of times one of my favorite like habit hacks is something we call pee squats. Like every time you go potty, go do 10 squats. When you're done, if you go pee 10 times a day, that's 100 squats. And it's just the compound effect, right? That's how we create a habit loop. And thinking about small little things over time add up. Like if I was to stand here and do 100 squats, like my quads and glutes would probably burn out. But 10 at a time throughout the day is very sustainable. So thinking of it in that way, creating some actual habit loops throughout your day that makes sense. And then watch your momentum. It just snowballs from there and it feels so good.
Yes, yes. I love that you brought up this habit loop of the cue, routine, and reward. This is really, really huge. And I know a lot of times people are thinking like, oh no, like I don't have habits, or they think like they don't have anything that is actually working for them, but they probably do have some that are working, but they're working against them. So That you talked about creating these habit loops so that we can start to feel amazing and feel great about ourselves, especially when it comes to our health. So you've given us a lot to get us going here. And I feel really good about starting out some new and improved habits and getting my habit loop together here. And I know that you also have a private podcast feed that you go a little bit more in depth about Atomic Habits for Women. So can you tell us a little bit more about that and how we can get access to it?
Sure. So I have a super secret podcast called Atomic Habits for Women. It's super easy and digestible to listen to because y'all, we got to do habits differently, even like personal development, listening to it. So you can listen in your car as you're washing dishes, folding laundry. And pretty much what we're talking about is kind of like we alluded here today. I want everyone that listens to it to have a big aha moment and be like, okay, maybe that's why it just didn't work for me. I need to get a little more creative. So I go through my actual habit hacking system that I teach inside of my signature program and help you just have some big aha moments to realize that, you know, I need to pivot my habits as my season of life changes. And my whole goal is for you to learn this system and then not even have to think about the system even anymore because it's just ingrained in you and you are just taking care of yourself. So you can go to bit.ly/atomic habits for women. I'll make sure to get the link to Tony Ann as well. You can go listen. It's completely free, really easy to listen to.
Awesome. Awesome. And I will have that link in the show notes in addition to where else they can find you online. So Emily, if there is a mom listening that's like, I want to get in connection with this lady here and learn more from her, where's the best place to find you?
Yeah, you can listen to Habit Hack Your Health wherever you listen to your podcast or come connect with me on Instagram. Like I said, I'm in and out pretty quick, but I do like chatting with y'all back there. You usually will get like a funny GIF or GIF or whatever it's called from me, but you can find me at Emily Nichols too. But everything is linked on the show notes. Any way you'd like to connect, I'd love for you to come listen.
Now that does it for this episode of the Real Happy Mom podcast. To find the links and show notes, make sure you head on over to realhappymom.com/226. And next week, I have an episode about a bad habit that I've been hiding for a while and how I was able to break the cycle. Now, this episode is one that I have been holding back from releasing because I get a little personal and share with you some things that I don't really feel proud about, but I know that this episode is going to help so many moms. So make sure you be back here next week for another full episode. Take care and with lots of love.